Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing? Are we good? Are we good? Are you sure? Positive? All right. I know some people are like, I don't know yet. I'm still figuring it out. Well, we are in a series here at North Rock that we're calling Selah, and basically the word simply means to pause. It means to pause and ponder, and today we're going to be talking about waiting upon the Lord. My message is titled Weight Training, because Psalm 130 is the psalm that I chose to preach into today, and it's all about waiting. It's all about learning to wait. Anybody besides me struggle with waiting sometimes? All right, come on. I've seen you guys at Starbucks before, like you're honking at me. You say, get out of the way, right? Whether it's traffic or it's a child that's taking too long to tie their shoes or the people that are paying with pennies in the grocery lines. Like all of those minor inconveniences in life, the small ones, sometimes can reveal where my patience level is. And so I stand before you confessing as your pastor, I struggle with patience. I don't wait well. Jody, don't say anything. You can just... But what I can tell you, I've had a lot of practice in waiting, right? And that's the thing about waiting. That's the thing about patience. Like, anybody ever pray for more patience? You ever pray that God would help you with your waiting, right? Like, it just creates more situations that you have to wait, right? And so what I know is that when I posture my heart before the Lord... And recognize it's not just a passive prayer of, God, give me more patience. And it's actually a participatory, faith-filled endeavor to learn how to wait on him. Do you guys know that that's part of what God's doing in us? He's teaching us not just to wait on the temporary things, but how many of you guys are waiting on a promise that God has given you in your life, for your family, for your ministry, for your whatever, fill in the blank, right? See, what's beautiful about Psalm 130 is that he's not concentrating on the little inconvenient things that we run into in our society where we're distracted and busy and frustrated because people don't move fast enough. I mean, in the speed of technology that we have, the internet, how many people this week complained about how slow a Wi-Fi that you were on was, right? And yet I can go back and remember the and go eat dinner and then come back and you're finally on the internet when it first came out, right? It's like, oh, okay, there, it's now I can search for something, yeah. So today we are talking about waiting. We're talking about what it means to wait from a biblical, Christian, theological perspective. And how it is that we are waiting for the fulfillment of the work that he's doing in us, right? How many of you with me would say we believe because of Jesus that everything in this Bible is yes and amen, right? But we also know that we're all in development. We're all learning to walk in those promises. We're all praying and waiting on the fulfillment of his return, right? So no matter where you find yourself today, we're all on the same playing field. We're all at the same level here. We're somewhere between God, where God found us and where he's taking us, right? We're on our way up. This Psalm 130 is a psalm of the people that when they'd come to Jerusalem for their festivals, reminding themselves of the Exodus, of when God brought his people out of Egypt and into Israel when he gave them their promised land, right? What we know about both that experience for them and our experience as followers of Christ is that the best is yet to come. It's still to come. And even though our theology teaches and we believe it and we know that everything that God needed to do, God has done in our lives for us to be in relationship with him and for us to live out the life that he's given to us, he's given us that possibility because of who he is, right? But we also know that there are certain maybe verses or promises from his word that we're still contending for, that we're still crying out for, that we're still wanting to experience in our daily lives, right? See, the psalmist in Psalm 130 reminds us that our faith is active. Learning to wait on God is not it's a dynamic process. It's not static. It's active. It's not passive. And there are a few things in Psalm 130 that I think will help us as we learn to wait better, right? Am I the only one who needs patience training in here? So the question I want to ask you this morning is, are you watching your weight? Not that weight, right? Though it is a fitting illustration, isn't it? That we spend so much time worrying about this that's temporary, that's going to be gone in a flash. What we're talking about today is the spiritual, the eternal, the work that God has done in us to create his patience in us. So let's pray and let's enter into this word today. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit in this place. Lord, as we wait on you, we recognize that you are active, that you are present, and that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond we could hope or ask for. And even in something as menial and as day-to-day as just showing patience, Lord, we know that as your followers, we should be known as patient people, as people who are willing to wait and to love, because we know that it's your mercy and it's your grace that draws people to you. So, Lord, help us to be gracious. Help us to be merciful. Help us to show patience in difficult circumstances. We love you, and we thank you for your word. Help us to receive it. Help us to apply it. Help us to walk it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to have you open them up now to Psalm 130. If you don't have it, I got a gigantic Bible that's right up here on the screen. You'll be able to read from as I read these, okay? And as I mentioned, it's a song of ascent. It's a song of a people that are on a pilgrimage back to Jerusalem to celebrate God's faithfulness to them in previous times and in that season, okay? So it starts out in verse 1. It says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of my sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, God's chosen people, right? God's set apart people. Put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Everybody say full redemption this morning. It's an important theological component right there. He himself will redeem Israel from all of their sins. Amen? So that's a good promise for us. We're going to spend a little bit of time unpacking that. But what I want to encourage you with today is just like the psalmist points out at the beginning of Psalm 130, that sometimes we can get in deep, right? We can get in above our head. We can get into the depths where we feel overwhelmed, where we feel like things are stacking up against us, right? And the good news is that God finds us and he leads us somewhere up on the way, right? Where everybody who's in this place today has started someplace and God is leading us to higher ground, right? All of us, as we sit here today, we find ourselves somewhere between Babylon and Jerusalem. You know what I'm saying? Right? That he has given us his promise. He has given us his spirit. He has taken upon himself by going and sacrificing himself on our behalf, the punishment for our sins, right? So that we could stand before him. So that we could stand before God as his children. So, here's four things that I see in Psalm 130 that helps encourage my heart as I learn to be more patient. See, here's the truth. I already confess that I struggle with patience. I know some of y'all struggle with patience too, because you're being patient with me right now going, come on, Pastor, let's go. Come on, give me something. Let's do this, right? But what I can also confess is that I'm a much more patient person than I ever was before Jesus entered the scene. That his patience is perfect. And when I'm smart enough to wait on him, when I'm smart enough to lean into his promise, when I'm smart enough to go, hey, instead of reacting in my anger, instead of reacting in my frustration, instead of reacting in all the things, the reasons that I would normally be impatient with any situation, right? I'm going to ask his perfect patience to be worked out in my life, right? That's the good news of the gospel, y'all, that Jesus makes it possible for us to unpack the resources of a God who has heaven at his disposal, right? I think we sang a song today, didn't we, Jake, about the waves of his heavenly resource flowing over us, right? That's what we're talking about, is that he has resource for every challenge in our lives. So let's dive in, okay? Verses 1 and 2 says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. A beautiful beginning to a prayer, to a song. And simply put, what I see in this is that weight training, which is what we're talking about, how do we train ourselves in waiting through the power of the Holy Spirit? Weight training cries out in humble dependence on God. Do you guys see that in what he's saying? So, Lord, out of the depths I cry to you. That word depths means deep waters. For the everyday ancient Israelite, it was a life-threatening danger. It was like a flood. It was like being in the ocean and trying not to sink, right? And he says, from that place, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Second thing that stands out to me in this section of scripture in verses 3 and 4 is that weight training remembers what Jesus has accomplished and repents. So in other words, as I'm learning to be more patient, actively leaning into these promises, actively crying out to God from the situation that I'm saying, God, I need you to intervene in this thing. And remembering both who he is and who I am allows me to remember what he's done. Remember that I'm in perfect standing with God and repent, right? Isn't that what it said? Verse 3 and 4. If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness so that we can with reverence serve you. How many this morning are thankful that there is forgiveness in Christ, right? That there is complete absolution of the punishment and the power of sin in our life. Okay, and here's the thing, just like I confessed with something as simple as patience, like we're learning to walk in that power. We're learning to live in that promise. We're learning to see God at work in that as we live in his family, right? That work is being completed. It's being more and more shaped into the likeness of Christ in my life. At least that's what we're hoping for. That's what we're leaning into. That's what we're trusting God for, right? See, the beauty of this psalm is it reminds us God's role and our role in it, right? We lean in, we cry out, like we don't bring it to the table, and he transforms. He answers. He forgives, right? And I know that talking about sin in church is not a popular way to build a church anymore, but I can tell you it's in the text, and it's safe, and it's beautiful, because our awareness of where we fall short. And listen, y'all, I fall short every day, all day long. What we know is that as we're aware of that, we're reminded of who God says we are even in that, right? We all have shortcomings. We all have issues that are incomplete, that don't reflect back the very nature of who God is in us yet. But that's still to come, right? That's the good news of the gospel, is that we can be faithful enough, we can be trusting enough of God that we can bring those things to him and say, God, I was going this way and I repent. The word repent simply means turn around, right? It's to remind ourselves of who he says we are so that we can live into his greatest promises in our lives. You guys getting the idea of how this works, the weight training? That he's teaching us patience as he gives us patience in what we're doing, right? But it's not that I'm just going to sit here on my lazy chair, you know. Just need some patience, God. Any day now, God. Waiting on this, God. Right? It's active. It's participatory. And when I can get that perspective, when I can get that revelation, when I can remind myself that if I'll cry out, if I will repent, if I will agree with God in what his word says about me, then guess what? I'm back moving in the promises of God in my life. And I love that that in that passage says, Lord, who could stand if you kept record of our sins? But then he says, but there's forgiveness for you. And because of that forgiveness, there's that 180. In reverence, we serve you, right? See, Zondervan's Bible commentary adds this to that text. It says, the psalmist is overwhelmed. He's feeling out of his depth, as it were. He pleads with God to meet his need. The psalmist is conscious of a gulf which divides men from God, and not merely men in general, but especially himself. They go on to say that the answer in this text, the answer lies solely in God's quality of forgiveness. You guys catch that this morning, church? That it's his quality of forgiveness, that it's in its totality, in its eternity, in its completion of what he's done in us, that we can cry out, we can receive forgiveness, and we can live in devotion and obedience to him. When was the last time you found yourself overwhelmed by the holy awe of a God who has forgiven you? That's the waiting that we're talking about. That's that reminder of, man, he's forgiven us. He's made a place for us. He calls me his child. It's part of what we do in microcosm when we gather together as a church. We get these reminders from what we've forgotten about who God says we are, right? Anybody else like that with me, that I think I've forgotten more scripture than I can, you know, even remember, right? That's how it works. Is that we come back to him, we're reminded, and out of his amazing love and his amazing grace, he showers heaven's resources on us and gives us the fruit of the Spirit, patience, long-suffering, right? That's what it means to live blessed. That's what it means to walk in patience and to wait train, okay? A couple of more in here that stood out to me, verses 5 and 6. It says, wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. In his word I put my trust. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. That's a great illustration of the posture change, of reminding that daily we need to be dependent upon God's Holy Spirit and his word to guide us. Amen? Like, we live in a world of distraction, y'all. Like, I first and foremost spend way too much time being distracted by stuff. But I'm reminded that when I wait on him, when I remind myself that I'm called to wait on him, then he directs my steps, right? When I put my hope in his word and not in the circumstance that I'm facing, when I put my hope in his word and I wait on him like a watchman. I love that word, a watchman. It's describing a sentinel in that era. And the sentinel was the one that would go and sit with the weak, go and sit with the sick. Anybody ever have a sick family member? Or I remember we've got a new birth in the family. So happy for you guys, Betsy. Guys, but I remember the first cough of Cameron being born. And it's like you're asleep and you hear that cough. It's like, and you're just watching, breathe. Look at Jody. Yeah, she's breathing. Yeah. That's that attentiveness that he's describing, isn't it? It's that level of, Lord, I wait on you. Like, that's what a sentinel does. That's what they were with the sick, to make sure that if they needed something, that they got the care they needed, right? And it's also a picture of the watchman in that time. They didn't have these cool lights like we have, and so they would be up before dawn waiting for the dawn so that they could get moving in where they were going, what they were doing, right? That's what's being described here, that when I remember that while I'm impatient waiting, that I have something that God wants to do in and through the circumstances of the wait, okay? So here's what I'm going to say. There are simple things that we wait on, and there are much larger things that we wait on in life, right? But the great news of the arc of God's word to us is that he completed the work that we needed him to do for us before we were ever born, and he's carrying that on into his return. That's the level, that's the arc, that's the timeline that we're talking about in this passage here. in the spiritual and eternal. And so this is my encouragement to you today. Be patient with yourselves. Don't be discouraged. Instead, press in. Instead, be reminded of who God says you are, and more importantly, who he is and who he's proven himself to be, right? So finally, verses 7 and 8, it says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. I love that word, that phrase, full redemption. Any of you guys ever buy something thinking that it was the full, completed, put-together package, and it comes in parts? Yeah. I'm not very mechanical, y'all, so I struggle with that. But I get really ticked off when you're following the directions and some of the pieces are missing, right? Here's my encouragement to us as a people, as a society, as a church. Let's not settle. Let's not settle for partial redemption. Let's keep bringing back the things that we know that God wants to transform in us, the things that we know about his promises over our lives, and let's contend. Let's press in. Let's patiently wait on the work of God in our midst. Amen? Matthew Henry commentary just reminds us that the nature of redemption, full redemption, is redemption from sin, right? It's from the power and from the influence of sin in our lives. That because of what Jesus has done, he's redeemed us both from the condemning and the commanding power of sin. In other words, we're free. We sang that, didn't we? We're free. And so our role in this is just to be reminded when we're not living free that we can be free indeed in Christ. They go on to say, the riches of this redemption is an all-sufficient fullness of merit and grace in the Redeemer, right? How many today, as you sit here today, recognize that? It's not in how I do, it's in who he is. That it's his richness, his grace, his mercy, the fullness of that, the richness of that, that I can live free. His redemption, his grace, the full merit of it is enough for all. It's enough for each, and it's enough for me. You know, I don't know what your walk with the Lord is, but I have an easy time having faith for y'all. I have less patience for me, because I know me, right? That we're usually most impatient with people that remind us of ourselves, right? Because we recognize the battle, the challenge, the struggle of living into all that God would have us live into. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the in-between. We're somewhere between Babylon and Jerusalem. We're somewhere between where he found us and where he's leading us. And that's okay. It's okay. God's patience, his love, his mercy, and his grace are available for us. And so here's the question that we all have to wrestle with. Here's the question as we leave this place, as we go running back out into the busyness of our lives, is will we praise him in our pain? Right? Am I preaching to anybody today that you're in a place of pain and you're going, it's really hard to praise right now, Pastor? Hey, listen, it's easy to praise when everything is going right. It's waiting on him in the fulfillment of his promises in our lives that we praise. And that is the power of worship. Will we worship him in the wilderness? Will we hail his name in the hard? Will we deny, or will we declare his glory in the desert? Because weight training will help us with that. Weight training and worship is just simply defined in the way I'm using it today as hope-filled expectation that reminds us in an onlooking world that Jesus is who he says he is, that God's work is still carrying us into our very best future, and that God is still on the job. You know how I find patience? I'm reminded God's at work even when I'm at rest. And I have to remind myself that he is active in leading me and guiding me and empowering me and showing me the very best future that he has for me. With him and in him, right? Jesus is still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, you guys, patience is possible. Remind me when I'm being impatient that patience is possible. Remind me that when I posture myself before him to wait, when I lean into his mercy and grace, when I'm honest with myself about why I'm feeling so frustrated, and I confess that sin before him, that he's quick and willing to forgive that sin, right? That the whole function of waiting on the Lord is for him to reveal his fullness and glory in our lives. So next time you feel impatient, let's practice some wait training. Let's make sure that we are a people who are watching our wait, right? And to close out the service today, I thought we'd put this into practice a little bit. You guys up for a little engagement? Because here's the thing. I don't ever want you to come to church and just hear people talk about God. I want you to experience him. I want you to understand that it's in the wait that God is at work. And so there's a great song called Take Courage. And I've got a video with some words that I want you to concentrate on. And I just want you to allow the Holy Spirit. I want you to allow God to search your heart. And I want you to think about the things we've talked about today while we listen to this song. Let's play that. And I'll be back. So the good news this morning, North Rock, is that he's in the waiting. That it's in the in-between. That as we learn to wait on him, he's in the waiting. Can you hear him? Can you sense him? Can you feel him? I can tell you just two quick illustrations from this week that anytime you get up and preach on patience, like you think praying for patience requires patience? When you preach on patience, then like it all gets tested out, right? And so this week, some of you guys know I've been trying to settle my uncle's estate, and part of that was trying to sell a truck. And I finally got somebody to come from Dallas, Texas, to come buy it in Jesus' name. Do you know how hard it is to sell a two-wheel drive truck in Colorado? It's harder than you think, right? It's harder than you think. And the day right after he bought his plane ticket to come out here, I go out to go get it detailed, and I turn it over, and it doesn't start. And you're like, just click, 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 click. And I'm like, I need to call Jake. I didn't. I figured it out on my own, Jake, but next time I'm calling you, right? And so anyway, I'm trying to scramble to figure this out. I went to three separate auto zones. I got three separate answers. They wanted to sell me the whole store, but they couldn't tell me why it wasn't working. Most of them thought the battery was working. They didn't think it was the battery. They tested the battery all three places. Two of them said yes. One said no. So I went home frustrated. I went to bed that night, got up early that morning, went to another auto zone, said, I want to buy a battery. I don't want to tell you what's going on. I'm just going to buy a battery. We're going to start there. Put the battery in. Boom. So I got it sold. So this is how this is tested out. I go at 7:30 in the morning because the website said they open at 7:30. I've got to get it done because I've got a meeting at 9. I get there at 7:30. The manager is there, but he won't come out of the store to help me with this situation because he's the only one there. The guy that was supposed to be there slept in. And so I had to sit there and wait a half an hour for somebody to show up. Guess what? It wasn't a half an hour. It was 37 minutes. 37 minutes is a lot longer than a half an hour when you're already late. Got a meeting at 9. I got to get this done. So the guy shows up. Can tell he's not that enthused to be working where he's working. And like at this point, like I'm saying, God, give me your patience, right? I'm not happy. Comes out, starts fumbling around with the stuff. He's not strong enough or tall enough to pull the battery out. He can't figure out how. It's like a weird Rubik's Cube. Like he couldn't get it out. And so he's like, well, I'm going to have to take all this off up here and all this aftermarket parts. I'm like, it can't. It's a battery, man. And he goes inside. So I just start digging in there. I pull it out. I get it done. He comes out. I'm holding it. I'm like, look, progress. We're going to do this thing. 8:35. And I'm just going, okay, Lord, there's something else here. And so the Lord starts talking to me, be kind. Encourage him. And I start asking him. We start having a conversation. I find out his wife has epilepsy, that she's going in for surgery in 2 days. The guy reeks of alcohol. He's half asleep. He can't do his job. And God is in the waiting and saying, I want to minister to him. And so we took time. I heard his story, heard about his baby, heard all the things. And then at the end of it, after I basically installed my own battery and paid them, I don't know how that works. I said, hey, would you mind if I just laid hands on you, prayed for you? See, those are the moments that you get when we wait on the Lord, when we listen to his voice in the midst of the waiting. And so please be praying for his wife. She's going in for a surgery next Tuesday to put something in there to try to preemptively stop the seizure. So we're believing that she's healed and that these doctors are going to help, right? Here's the second test that I took. I've got a 9-year-old daughter at home, y'all. Enough said, right? like it's always daddy this, dad, and you know, when you have a lot of things going on, we're just starting football season, there's a lot of different situations going on where I may not be fully present. And a little while ago, she was really like geeked out about stickers. Like, I wish I could still get like super excited about stickers. But she was so excited about these stickers, and she said, Dad, which one do you want? Which one? And I'm like, I don't really care about stickers. Just pick one. And so she picks a sticker, and it's this little elephant. It's an elephant its color is purple. It has like the cosmos in there. You can see the stars. You can see the galaxies. And she pulls it out, and she says, Dad, I want to put this on your Bible. And I said, I don't really do stickers on my Bible, babe. It's a leather bound. Like, it's, you know, I'm a minister of God. Like, I don't want to be at the coffee shop telling people why I got little purple elephants on my Bible, right? And so I listen, and I say, God, give me your patience in this. And so here I am today in church with my little pink purple elephant on my Bible. And I'm not bragging that I'm getting better at this patience thing, but what I'm reminding us is that he's in the waiting, that he's speaking into it. And you know what? He actually gave me meaning for this, to where I'm not embarrassed anymore when people ask me about my purple elephant sticker on my Bible, because there's two things he spoke to me in. One was just this morning, but the other one was earlier this week. And I says, now every time I open this Bible and I look at the thousands and thousands and thousands of promises that God is still on the way in my life, that I'm reminded that he's the God who created the elephant. Like, how creative do you have to be for that? And he is so majestic that he created the cosmos. He created all living things. And that is who is at work in me. That's who's at work in the waiting, right? And the second thing that I remembered, or that I was reminded of today, is that applying the scriptures is kind of like eating an elephant a bite at a time, right? How do you eat an elephant? A bite at a time, right? God is doing this in us a bite at a time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, your love for us. We thank you, Lord, that as we sit here today and get reminded of your patience as a father with us, Lord, that we actually grow in characteristics that reflect back you. So, Lord, we pray that today we'd be patient with ourselves, we'd be patient with others. Lord, that we'd learn to watch our weight, and that we would spend the time to lean into you, to cry out to you, to confess to you, and to trust you that you are at work in the weight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, if God did something in your heart, if he spoke something to you, can you give him a clap of applause? Can we say, God, you're good, you're faithful, and we thank you? That's good. And with that, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand up. We're going to dismiss in prayer. We're going to pray a prayer we pray almost every week here at North Rock, because whether it's our first time or our 50th time, we want to pray it like it's our first. It's the reminder that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that you and I could live in relationship with him. Amen? So let's pray it. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, to living it in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want to meet you after the service. Otherwise, God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock. If you would like prayer for any need in your life, we have people available, okay? Love you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.